You're listening to R&IB Connect Radio. Now, you may remember a little while ago, we spoke to David Maddock shortly before he embarked on a 160-mile sponsored walk to raise money for Southampton site. Well, he's only gone and done it, and David joins me now to tell us all about it. David, thank you so much for joining us.
Plenty to tell you about this walk.
Before we get into the big walk itself, can you give us a brief recap of what it was you were doing?
The aim was to walk 160 miles from Porto in Portugal to Santiago, Spain, which is a famous pilgrim walk of for over 1,000 years from different directions. And I wanted to do it for many reasons. One, for my heart and my soul and my spirit. Two, to challenge my sight loss. I'm severely sight impaired. And number three, to raise some money for Southampton site that helped me greatly in the past.
And we'll get into the money raise a little bit later on, but you've done the walk.
Yeah.
Simply, how was it?
Well, I was going to walk 160 miles. We did at least 170 in the end. We were going to have a day's rest at least halfway along. We didn't. We just walked every day without a break. How was it? It was exhausting, exhilarating, challenging, but euphoric for me. By the end, it was an amazing thing to do. Totally amazing. The people we met, some people we met and talked with, and we just said hello, goodbye. Others we met and had totally deep conversations with individuals along the way. And for me, it was like filling a pool of emotion inside me that by the very end, when we got to the very end, just poured out.
You got any particular highlights from the walk? Because 160 miles, 12 days of walking, what were some memorable parts of the walk and some highlights?
We met a Ukrainian couple, a lovely couple. I gave them some food one night because they'd arrived late in the hostel we were staying at. And the following day, we re-met them in the next town we were going to. And we sat down, they'd eaten, we joined them, we had our food with them. They told us about their lives. He was a Ukrainian Special Forces sniper, and he'd been allowed to come away from the front line for 3 weeks with his wife, his children staying with his grandmother. And we said, you know, forgive us for asking, but how is it? And as he was telling his story of how it was and he is in Ukraine, his wife was in tears going through the story. And he finished his story and said, we've just got to go back to our hostel now. And so they paid and left. And then when we came to pay for our meal, they said, oh, sorry, it's already been paid for by the Ukrainian couple from before. And then we thought, oh, my goodness me. In small moments, such powerful emotions are exchanged. Other memorable moments, even to the very end, when we got to Santiago, the cathedral in Santiago, we went for blessings. We weren't Catholic or anything, but we just felt that we were so emotional about the whole event. We wanted to have a blessing. So we went to the cathedral for a pilgrim mass at midday. We arrived, we went through, went up for the blessing, which is the very end, you know, when you go for the Eucharist or you go for a blessing. That's the very end of the service. And just as we'd done that, there are about 1,000 of us there. Maybe half of the 1,000 were pilgrims of a sort, walkers, if you like. And the other half are probably visitors, tourists, etc. And we got there. And anyway, I was grabbed by a Spanish nun who said, come in Spanish. sit. So she sat me on the front row of the congregation where the others had vacated already. And suddenly these 8 men in robes, red robes, came out, pulling ropes, dragging these big heavy ropes from the ceiling out. And then they lowered the biggest incense burner I've ever seen in my life, probably about a meter high by half a meter wide in circumference. They lit it, and then they got together. One of them gave it a push, an almighty push, and then they lifted it back up in the air about 15, 20 foot up. And then it started to swing, and they then pulled it occasionally to make it swing, probably 150 feet from one side of the cathedral to the other, putting all the incense through the air. And then they were singing a Gregorian chant. About 10 priests were singing a Gregorian chant, and that plus an organ started firing up as well. Beautiful music, and all of that together just sort of made me well with tears, the emotional outpouring, because throughout the journey we'd had all these moments of meeting and deep conversations. At the end of it, it was like a burst in me, and came out. I'm a changed person, I think.
You've mentioned a little bit already of the walk itself being exhausting, as you can expect with it being 160 miles, but doing a walk like that with with sight loss as well, added on top to just the length of the walk. Was there anything in particular that you found harder than you expected, or even easier than expected?
I thought it'd all be easier. I thought, you know, 1,000 years of people doing the pilgrim walk, the path should be smooth and flat, shouldn't it? No, I'd forgotten about the Pyrenees. I'd forgotten about the backbone of Portugal, the dividing line between Portugal and Spain being mountains. Every day we had to climb and then drop a little in height, and then climb again and drop a little in height. I think the Adrian, one of my brothers-in-law, he mathematician kind of character, he said, and through his calculations, he said, we've probably done 1,000 feet of climbing and falling in the last day, and then we'll do the same again tomorrow and the day after. So the easy part was my thinking that it would be easy. The hard part, in many ways, was climbing and then dropping down, and then climbing again and dropping down. But that wasn't so bad, because I could pause when I got to what I thought was the top, which never was. But the hardest part was climbing over these rocks and boulders, you know, sort of from the glacial things, that these boulders hadn't got much smaller with 1,000 years worth of feet walking over them, and the river running down them as well, and trying to cross them all. Thank goodness for having two brothers-in-law. I didn't fall once. We hit one mountain where we had to, we'd stayed a night in a hostel nearby to other path, but we had to rejoin the path. So we had to cross the road and walk up a slope. I say slope. Imagine walking upstairs without having the steps for stairs. It was that steep. You could almost kiss the ground in front of you as you were trying to climb up this terrible path for about 150, 200 feet. Those were the hardest parts. I didn't ever want to stop doing it, but I just had to steel myself to the fact that whatever we climbed, it wouldn't be the last that we had to climb.
My final question for you is, David, now this was all done to raise money for Southampton Sight. How much did you end up raising in the end, and how much did this mean for Southampton Sight?
Oh, David, we're not over yet. We haven't finished, because money is still trickling in. £4,500 have been raised so far. That's including gift aid. But people are saying, please, can we do a talk? It hasn't ended yet. And hopefully, maybe we'll have another bit of money coming in. So I am overwhelmed. I thought £1,000 would be wonderful. To have £4,500 in there, I'm overwhelmed. I'm totally amazed by the friends and family, both old and new, that have donated so wonderfully. For Southampton Sight, I was asked earlier and before, what would I want the money to be spent on? And to be honest, Southampton Sight know better than me what they need the money to be best used for. They don't ask me to do another walk, I'm not quite ready for that yet, unless you fancy coming along with me.
I'll respectfully decline.
Bless you, David.
David Maddox, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connected Radio once again, and telling us all about your 160-mile sponsored walk to raise money for Southampton Sight.
Bless you, David. Thank you for your time. Thank you.